الحمد لله المعطي برحمته وفضله، المانع بحكمته وعدله. أحمده سبحانه لا راد لأمره ولا معقب لحكمه، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله أفضل أنبيائه وخير رسله. اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. All thanks are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I thank and glorify Him. He guided us to the best path and the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, with no partner or associate. I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger. He sent him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to us as a favor and bounty from himself. O Allah, send prayers upon and have mercy for and bless Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his household, his companions, and all those who follow in their footsteps until the day of judgment. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most reasonable man on earth, because his reasoning guided him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to love Allah, to be loyal to Allah, and to devote his entire life in seeking Allah's content. And for that, he earned his exalted position. Abu Sufyan, on the day of Meccan conquest, looked deeply at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "How rational, wise, merciful, and honoring you are to your tribe." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has got a mind, reasoning, mercy, wisdom, and loyalty beyond any limits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's testimony for the superiority of the Prophet's mind is in the following ayah. It means, by the pen and what the angels write in the record of men, you, O Muhammad, are not, by the grace of your Lord, a madman. The Surah Al-Qalam, verse 1 and 2. The believer is indulged in mercy, happiness, serenity, and peacefulness that people of worldly life don't have knowledge of. For that, one of the pious men said, "What can my enemies do to me? My paradise and garden are in my chest, and they are with me wherever I go. My explosion from my homeland is tourism. My imprisonment is my privacy with Allah, and my killing is martyrdom." And he also said, "Pity the people of the worldly life who have gone and departed without ever knowing the closeness to Allah the Almighty, which is the best can be obtained in life." This ayah, dear brothers, is a testimony of the Creator of the universe that his noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam owned the most superior mind when he was bestowed with the blessing of prophethood and the message. Some scholars said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, has never given any human since the beginning of life till the end of days reasoning that can be compared to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's reasoning. But a tiny particle of sand, like comparing with all sands of the world, and he had the most superior mind and the most wise opinion among humankind. The more reasoning you are, the closest to Allah you will be. And the more reasoning you are, the more love you will have for Allah. So if there were two indicators with each other, one of reasoning and the other would be for obedience. Love, fear, and longing to Allah, so you can test your reasoning throughout your status, deeds, and heart. When Khalid ibn al-Walid intended to embrace Islam, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Peace be upon you, the Prophet." Khalid ibn al-Walid, the legend, who reversed the Muslims' victory in Uhud to pagans' interest, and one of the greatest leaders, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Come closer." So he did. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I knew that you have an open mind, and I prayed that it would lead you to safety." This is an indication from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this religion is embraced by reasonable people. And one of the reasoning requirements is to approach this religion. For that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wondered about the delay of Khalid's converting to Islam despite his reasoning. Reported Farah ibn Ubayra, may Allah be pleased with him, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "We used to worship idols and goddesses instead of worshiping Allah, the Almighty. We invoked them, yet they did not respond to us. We asked them, yet they did not answer us, till we came to you and we were guided by Allah through you. So we worship Allah now." To which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He who is blessed with reasoning will prosper." Reasoning is the guest of things, is the essence of things. Can you imagine an orange without pulp? Some people void their potentials from the pulp and keep the skin only, which will bring you to disappointment. You can sift the reasonable person from the other wise by a mere word. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He who is blessed with reasoning will prosper." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ra'd, verse 19, which means, "But it is only the men of understanding that bay head." Dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yusuf, verse 2, it means, "Verily, we have sent it down as an Arabic word, an Arabic Quran, in order that you may understand. In order that you may understand. And the whole Quran is meant for you to understand." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The best of reasoning after faith is shyness and noble morals." It was narrated that a Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and left after the Prophet taught him Islamic orders and prohibitions. So the Bedouin converted to Islam. Then his kindred asked him, "How could you tell that he is the messenger of Allah?" To which the Bedouin answered, "Muhammad did not order something to which my reasoning asked me not to do it. And he did not prohibit anything to which my reasoning asked me to do it." Any order or prohibition which accords with reasoning cannot contradict with divine reporting, because reasoning is a measure installed in all of us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the divine reporting is his words. So both two cannot contradict with each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has descended Quran, his revelation, upon his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and bestowed us with reasoning to be the measure. Hence, both are from Allah, thereby reasoning according with reporting, if any contradiction took place between the two, that would be due to either an unauthenticated reporting or a deviated mind. Because the balanced mind can never contradict with reporting. Anything you see reflects its creator. The mind has the ability to move from sensed content to abstract content, from seen to unseen, and from fraction to the whole. And this is the definition of mind in its absolute concept. However, the hereafter cannot be sensed in worldly life, and believing in it is a mere submission kind of belief to what is reported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, there is a question to be asked. Is there any intellectual evidence of the hereafter rather than the divine reporting? In other words, could someone who had never read Quran, Torah or Bible, nor has listened to a sermon, could or come to a conclusion that there is a hereafter by using his mind only? Some scholars set an example for that. They said, if there is a play in a theater and the actors finished only its first chapter, why do you think the spectators did not leave the theater? That's because the plot is not finished yet. The story is not completed, as there is always an introduction, a plot, and a conclusion in any story. And the play is not displayed to the end yet. Listen to the intellectual graduate comprehending in the respect of the hereafter. Abdul Muttalib, the Prophet's uncle, reasoned one day saying, no tyrant should be left without being punished by Allah before he dies. Some said, such and such man oppressed and tyrannized others, to which he said, Allah has punished him on such and such day. So they said to him, how about such and such man? He also answered, Allah has punished him on such and such day. Then they said to him, such and such man oppressed and tyrannized others, yet hasn't been punished. He thought for a while and said, then there must be a day in which Allah will punish him. In worldly life, you see the powerful and the weak, the rich and the poor, the tyrant and the tyrannized. A person who lives long life and another lives short life. Sometimes the tyrant might die before Allah punishes him. So forth. This indicates that there must be another day in which all accounts are settled. There must be a day in which the weak takes his revenge from the powerful, and the poor from the rich. Dear brothers, there's a nice quote that says, greatness of creating indicates greatness of actions, and the perfection of creating indicates the perfection of actions. And there's almost a harmony between the perfection of creation and the perfections of actions. The universe is a reflection of the perfection of creating. Hence, its creator should be perfect in his actions. Accordingly, there is a powerful and the weak, the tyrant and the tyrannized, the poor and the rich, the healthy and the sick, and the short-lived and the long-lived. And when death occurs, there must be another day in which all accounts will be settled. However, what do the atheists say? They say, in Quran, in Surah Al-Mulk, verse 10, it means, and they will say, had we but listened or used our intelligence, we would not have been among the dwellers of the blazing fire. This ayah is very accurate. It is like cooking. So either you eat cooked meal or you cook it yourself along the same line. You either listen to the truth or you reflect and ponder till reach the same results, the truth. And they will say, had we but listened or used our intelligence, we would not have been among the dwellers of the blazing fires. You should listen and comprehend. Yet doing both is best you can do. The Prophet ﷺ said, the first thing Allah created was the mind. He said to it, come. So the mind came. Then he said to it, go. So the mind went. Then Allah the Almighty said, by my glory and exaltedness, nothing is more preferable to me among my creation than you, the mind, as I bestow and withdraw because of you. Therefore, the human being will earn happiness upon using his or her mind, and will earn hardship upon deactivating it. I bestow and withdraw because of you. It was reported that Hussein, father of Imran ibn Hussein, used to worship 7 idols before Islam, considering them as gods. And he was a notable man in Quraysh. So they came to him and said, talk to that man, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he put down your idols and curses them. So they accompanied him till they reached the Prophet's door, where they sit nearby. Pay attention to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's superior mind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, make a room for the old man. Being rude is not a character of a believer. So this man is worshipping 7 idols. Hussein addressed the Prophet by saying, we overheard that you are cursing our idols. To which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Hussein, how many idols do you worship? He said, 7 on earth and 1 in the heaven. That makes 8 of them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you were in hardship, whom do you call? The man answered, I call the one in heaven. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you are broke, whom do you call? The man said, the one in heaven. The Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how come you worship those idols with the only one who responds to your supplication? Do you thank him yet worship others with him? Do you thank him and fear your people? Hussein said, none of those two. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, convert to Islam to be safe. Hussein said, I would lose my position in my kingdom if I accept what you said. Of course, this is a problem, as other religions believed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet they did not admit it to him, lest they lose their position and privilege. Hussein then asked, what should I do? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, say, O Allah, I ask for your guidance to best of my interest. Grant me knowledge to benefit of. When Hussein said that, he did not leave this assembly before converting to Islam. Have you noticed this reasonable, calm, gentle, and honorable debate? Especially when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, make a room for the old man. When Hussein converted to Islam, Imran, his son, who was attending this meeting and who embraced Islam already, kissed his father's head, hands, and feet in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wept, saying, I cried because of what Imran has done. That is because Imran did not stand when his father first stepped in, when he was begging, and not even looked at him, but when he embraced Islam, he honored him. So I was touched. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم أدعو الله عسى أن تكون هذه ساعة إجابة. Supplicate, may Allah accept our supplication at this time. السلام على رسول الله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Dear brothers, why do we insist on tackling the attributes of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That's because they are a detailed method. Like when you learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you should honor the honorable persons in their kingdom, you should reasonably debate with the others without looking down to him. You should honor the one you are debating with, and you should resort to reasonable and explicit debate. Once a young man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking his permission to commit fornication. The companions told him to be quiet and scold the young man. Now pay attention to the logic and the demonstrations that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to address the other person's mind, calmly giving him conclusive evidence and showering him with reasons till he managed to convince him. Therefore, it is not about shouting, making noise, and raising voices. It is about providing evidence. So he asked permission for committing fornication. The companions told him to be quiet and scolded the young man. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No. Do you like it for your mother?" The man said, "No." To which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commented, "So are people." He said, "Do you like it for your daughter?" He answered, "No." To which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "So are people." Then the man said, "Be my witness as I repent from fornication." And in another narration he said, "I came to the Prophet and fornication is the dearest thing to me. And it went out, and it is the most hatred thing to me." Disagreements arose among the clan leaders as to who would have the honor of lifting the sacred black stone into place when the Kaaba was rebuilt. The disagreements increased to the point where the clans were about to take up arms against each other. So what did the Prophet before Prophethood, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He spread out his cloak, put the stone in the middle, and had members of the four major clans raise it to its distant position. This is the superior mind. Establishing data in every war is a very crucial action of all. And the most dangerous one, especially in our era of information revolution. Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, said, when we settled in Medina, we ate its fruit, and we were sick at that time, in the Battle of Badr. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to know the number of soldiers in the Mecca army, so the Muslims could plan their strategy accordingly. He sent a group of Muslims to find it out before the battle started, and they arrived before Mushrikeen, the bolus, to the water wells of Badr, where they found two men. One Croatian man and the other is a servant of Aqba ibn Abi Muayt. The Croatian gave them the slip, so they brought the other to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he tried to know the number of Meccan's army, the man did not know the exact number of the soldiers, saying, there are so many of them, and they are strong. And no matter how hard the Prophet tried, but he couldn't have known. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, how many camels do they slaughter every day? The man replied, 10 of them every day. From this answer, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam estimated between 900 to 1,000 soldiers, as every camel is enough for 100 men. And that was the number. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a highly talented leader. He ordered some of his companions to learn Syrian and Hebrew language, so he would be able to become secure against their plotting. Furthermore, he never used a non-Muslim translator, yet he ordered his companions to learn the language in order to be able to translate any letter of both languages to Arabic and make sure translation is accurate and that is no one is bluffing. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered Huzaifah ibn al-Yaman to spy on the Balathist in Khandaq battle, he said to him, infiltrate their encampment and bring me news of what happening and do nothing till you come back. Huzaifah sat among them. Abu Sufyan feared the possibility that strangers might be listening to him, so he said, let each one of you look at his companion. Huzaifah was intelligent enough to say to his companion, who are you? The companion replied, so-and-so, son of so-and-so. And if he was late, his cover would have blown. The Prophet said to that, the believer is prudent and cautious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Nisa, verse 71, which means, O you who believe, take your precautions. Have you even seen more intelligent than this? It was reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered 14,000 fires to be lit up when he was heading to Mecca, passing the Zahran passage, in order to put fear in the enemy's heart, and the enemy fall for it. As he described it upon seeing it, as the fires of Arafah day, so many people, and this filled their hearts with fear. If our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam held a message against reasoning, pagans would never have left him, as they were on his tail, waiting for one mistake. They would have spoken it out. They would have criticized the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would have confuted him. They would have defamed him. Yet, all wise and reasonable people at that time testified to the eligibility of this message. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with. When Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, came to Najashi, he said to him, "We were ignorant people. We worshipped the idols. We ate dead animals. We did bad actions and abandoned our relatives. We mistreated our neighbors. The strong oppressed the weak. So Allah has sent us a messenger. We know his ancestors and his truthfulness. We know that he is pure and trustworthy. So he has invited us to worship the only Allah. He has ordered us to avoid what we and our fathers had worshipped." Najashi said later, "You are welcome. Your prophet is welcome. I admit that he is the messenger whom Isa ibn Maryam had given good news about. If I were not the king of this land, I would have gone to this prophet and hold his shoes for him." Akhtam ibn Sufayn was the one of pre-Islamic dignitaries. When he overheard in respect of messenger's mission, he sent two of his kindred to meet the Prophet ﷺ. So they said to him, "We are messengers of Akhtam ibn Sufayn, and he's asking you, who are you and what are you?" To which the Prophet ﷺ answered, "As for who am I am Muhammad, son of Abdullah. And as for what am I am the servant of Allah and his messenger, and I convey to you his words. Verily, Allah enjoins al-adl, justice, and worshiping none but Allah alone, and al-ihsan, to be patient in performing your duties to Allah totally for Allah's sake and in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet in a perfect manner, and giving help to kith and kin, that all that Allah has ordered you to give them, wealth, visiting, looking after them, or any other kind of help, and forbids al-fahsha, all evil deeds, that's illegal sexual acts, disobedience of parents, politicism, to tell lies, to give false witness, to kill a life without right, and al-munkar, that's all that is prohibited by Islamic law, politicism of every kind, disbelief and every kind of evil deeds, and al-baghi, all kinds of oppression. He admonishes you that you may take it." They said to him, "Would you repeat that, please?" So he did till they memorized it. They came to Akhtam and said to him, "We asked him about his ancestry and found him of the best ancestries, the best of mother. And he recited words we memorized. So when Akhtam heard these words, he said, from these verses it is understood that this individual Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam guides us to a very high level of character and prevents people from bad characteristics. All of our people should immediately enter this religion so that we are well advanced morally of our nations. So be leaders to this matter, not followers." Allahumma aslih lana deenana alladhi huwa aswat amrina. Waslih lana dunyana allati fiha ma'ashana. Waslih lana akhiratana allati ilayha ma'aduna. واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا من كل خير، والموت راحة لنا من كل شر، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغا منا. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا، وبلغنا مما يرضيك آملنا، واختم بالباقيات الصالحات عملنا، آمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا وإمامنا وقوتنا وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وأقم الصلاة.